All right. As I was studying, I came across one person that said this. They really wished that the wise men had been wise women. And the reason they gave was they would have asked for directions in the first place. They would have arrived on time. They would have been able to help with the delivery. They would have been able to bring practical, usable gifts at the time, cook up a bunch of meals for them, and clean up the stall. I thought, well, okay. You know, I stop and think about that, and we make all kinds of jokes and that kind of thing. But I really, tonight I want to really concentrate on what it meant for Christ to be born to the nation Israel, because no one outside Israel knew much about it other than the wise men. And I really think that the wise men, actually, they were from the Babylon area, and I think they were actually Jews myself who knew the scriptures and knew it was coming, and that's why they traveled to see the king. Well, go with me to a story here. In a time of great rejoicing in the king's palace, a prince had just been born. Near his throne, there was a lively discussion going on with the king's advisors, making suggestions as how best to be able to announce this wonderful news. They had elaborate ways and suggestions of publicizing and celebrating this great event. All but one had expressed their opinion, so the king turns to him and asks, "How about you? Do you have any suggestions?" "Well," came the reply, "I think that we should send a messenger tonight out into the fields to tell some shepherds about it." You could hear all of the advisors going, "What a ridiculous idea. A messenger in the night telling shepherds." And yet, that was God's way of announcing Jesus' birth. Listen as I read these familiar words in the second chapter of Luke, beginning with verse 8. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, or cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.'" Now somehow when we hear about the shepherds coming to the manger that night and they were awestruck, gazing at the baby Jesus, it makes us feel kind of warm inside, maybe wishing it was us, right? Wouldn't you love to have been there? And I have to ask the question, who does God announce the birth of his son to during that time? And who is invited to come see the baby? An untidy, smelling collection of sheep herders. And do you realize that that's the only announcement of Christ's birth recorded in the scriptures? And that one invitation goes to a bunch of uneducated, smelly, hill-roaming, socially and religiously outcast bunch of shepherds. Now, I resemble that remark. I raised sheep for 9 years, more as a hobby than anything else, and we lived on 2.5 acres, and I was attempting at the time when I bought the sheep to learn what our farmers and ranchers here at the church feel and think. And what a dirty job. What a smelly job. I'm telling you, when I moved back to the city after the 9 years, I don't even want a cat and dog. I mean, I'd get knocked around by the sheep when I fed them, and I hoped not to rub against, I didn't want them to rub against me because they have that lanolin on their wool, and it always smelled, and it was hopeless. I'd have to put on old jeans and old shirt and get dressed just to go out there and then take them all off and keep them outside. And they would come into the feeding area, and the first thing they would do is use me as their handkerchief. And you know how animals are, don't you? I mean, they're that way. And they rub against me with that oily wool and in the panic for the battle for the hay or grain, whatever I was giving them. And I'd come into the house, and I wouldn't even get to the laundry room before somebody would say to me, "Ooh, you smell." You know, I can't imagine what it was like for these shepherds who said they were living out in the fields and with their sheep, and they smelled, and they were unwashed, and they were dirty, and they were unclean. According to the religious Jew, they were considered unclean people. In fact, their testimony could never be used in court because they were known to be liars. They never could probably figure it out. But you know, I look at that and I think, well, at least I had a laundry room and a hot shower, which I could use each time I went to the sheep. But these shepherds in Israel couldn't even go to celebrations. They couldn't come to the holidays because they had to watch their sheep. And that was a daily routine, 66 or 365 days a year. And they would have been rejected if they did. Now, in the Old Testament, when we get to 1 Samuel, Samuel the prophet is asked by God or directed by God to travel to Bethlehem because he has had it with King Saul. King Saul is not doing what he's saying. And he said, and God said through Samuel, "Saul, this kingdom is torn away from you because you do not obey my voice." And so God sends Samuel to Bethlehem to find a new king to replace King Saul. And he arrives at Jesse's house, the father of King David. And all of David's brothers show up for the feast to be examined. And they were very good looking, tall, muscly kind of boys. And he had come for a feast and he wanted to examine them all. And so they came by him one by one to be the potential king for Samuel's inquiry. Except for David. He was out with the sheep. And I want to just read just a few verses of that in 1 Samuel 16:10, starting with verse 10. "And Samuel said to Jesse, 'The Lord has not chosen these,'" meaning all of David's brothers. They went right from the firstborn right on down. "And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Are all the young men here?' Then he said, 'There remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep.' And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here.'" And we know the account. David comes and he pours oil over his head and he anoints him as the king of Israel. Shepherds were the last people you would expect God to take notice of. But he took notice of David, didn't he? King David, probably the most famous character in the Bible. And when Jesus is born, he takes notice of the shepherds. And an invitation only went out to these shepherds. The birth of his only son, Jesus Christ, and they're invited to go up through the hills, up to Bethlehem, and see this baby. The one for whom Israel had been waiting for thousands of years. Finally, he has come. And the point is, you would expect an event like a kingly birth of Christ to be announced to the most important people in the nation and in the world. For instance, I saw the cover of People magazine, and what was the big news on it? Can you go to the next slide? Are we out? There we go. We look at Kate, Now, why is Kate in the news? Why is she on every other issue of People magazine? Because she's pregnant, and she's going to give birth to a king or queen. I don't know if they've figured out the sex yet or not. But she's been in the hospital with morning sickness, and the whole world knows what's going on with her. And with Christ being born, shouldn't the world know? Why in the world did he just go to the shepherds? But none of them got the word. Because none of them were invited. Only these few poor shepherds, these social and religious outcasts, received God's announcement. And I think we've come to the place, while I'm talking, that we can ask the question, why these few shepherds? Why did he send his angels to announce the birth of Christ to these shepherds and invite them only to come and see the king? Well, personally, I think they needed the king more than anybody else. That's one maybe reason. You know, we are like those shepherds. We need the king to save us. You know, it just shows that God's not a respecter of persons. He's not a respecter of kings or princes over people like us. God does not show favoritism. He's in love with you and I. In other words, God was demonstrating his choice with these lowly shepherds to be first to receive the news of Christ's birth. He who is last shall be what? First. And we who are first shall be last. Jesus is Savior of all. So what does that mean to you and I? Well, if you identify with these shepherds, it should be very encouraging. Perhaps you see yourself as kind of one of those people on the outside looking in, because a lot of us feel that way at times. Maybe we're not one of the beautiful people. And we're not especially wealthy like some of these people on earth that are powerful and influential. And it may not be likely that you will ever see our name in the paper or on People magazine or the nightly news because of some huge, great accomplishment. If any of this strikes a chord with you, then I have good news. The best news possible. God loves you too. You know, when the shepherds heard the news, they simply believed what the angels told them, and they simply obeyed and went. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you can do the same thing. God is inviting you today, just like he invited the shepherds. And the question is, if you haven't done it, will you receive him? The Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, we come tonight marveling that you would announce to shepherds in the fields around Bethlehem that Jesus Christ was born. And Lord, we have to stop in ourselves and think for a few minutes how great it is that you came to us in whatever state we are, so that we can say, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I don't know tonight if there's somebody here that hasn't put their faith and trust in Christ. But I'm going to pray a prayer, and if I'm talking to you, you could pray with me tonight, asking for the first time for God to come into your lives. Let's pray that. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and life and be the Lord of my life and save me today. Father, I believe that you rose from the dead So come into my life, change my life, and may I serve you for the remainder of my days. And while your heads are still bowed, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, will you